Good morning and happy Friday, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another edition of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report, here with Mr. Nicola Fakis. How you doing after an amazing day yesterday of 20 plus experts getting together, sharing knowledge? Oh, man. It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, that for me, that was an insane amount of fun. I mean, getting to spend like all day talking to other AI experts and then also listening to experts in the field that understand, like, it wasn't just, you know, and that's the thing, it's like, it wasn't actually like all AI. It was this thing of like, hey, here's what we do. It, like, honestly, if you missed it, it sucks, because it was a perfect example of, here's what is in place. Here's how we handle the adaptation of AI tools to what's in place. And here's how we make it effective. And here's how we actually use it to deliver value. Right? Like, it was everything that I'm not joking. It was everything that every seminar, every other like AI seminar is not. Right? Like, we didn't talk about, theoretical stuff. We didn't talk about, so-and-so said that this happens too. And, you know, it's reported that this happens and these numbers from this place and Kinsey says that. No, we all talked about our own personal experiences, like what we've gone through, what we've done, you know, results that we've had and that we've seen. And I mean, like, the, you know, we capped it off perfectly because, like, between like me, Clement, and Crispy, we're just talking about like the most important factor, which is just, it's just that, like, not going by the KPIs, especially the traditional KPIs, like just letting go of attempting to measure the success and just sitting back and making it happen. Right. It's an odd thing because, like, you want to say, well, how are you supposed to like measure how successful? Like, you have to let that go.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you let it go, what you do is you stop templating yourself. You stop trying to be like everyone else and you start being your own brand. You start being unique and then everybody starts following you. That's the way it works. Yeah. Like, and I mean, and it's not even like following. It's more like, again, like, and when I say that, I just mean like in terms of your brand, in terms of your business, in terms of your organization. You know, we talked about like using, you know, especially now with like AI audits coming up, right? Because that's going to be like the next thing, right? And we were talking about how auditing can be something that you use as a lead catching tool, right? And that most agencies, which, you know, of course, don't want to call themselves agencies, but most agencies, tend to make people pay for that, right? When at the end of the day, that's a huge value gain, right? It's right. A huge foot in the door type thing. So, yeah,
they either make you pay or they don't really give you anything more than what Copilot can already do for you, like in your right. own portal. Like, oh, you got this number of these things and this number of these things.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Can I pay you $10,000 to finish this process now through what you're calling a scoping project? And then right. we can figure out what we, right? Like, all this stuff is going to be like, literally, that is not value first. That is value last. Like, after we get your money, after you do all the work. And I didn't exactly know how this is the thing. Ultimately, like, just letting go of all the structured ways. Even I learned a couple. I learned a lot yesterday, but the last few stages of, you know, advocate and champions, like, even I had to be like, no, stop trying to structure everything and plan everything and just show up with value and then watch other people join, which is exactly what has happened with Value First. And even I was like, all right, we got to get in stages 7 and 8 and we got to figure out what the KPIs are going to be because everybody wants that. And it's like, it can't have it. That's not how it works, right? And I didn't know how I was going to be able to introduce stages. And I'm calling this up as an example of just kind of moving forward with flow and with value. a big part of what Value First is trying to shift you from industrial age paradigm and serious decisions, waterfall, lead, MQL, SQL. As long as we have KPIs tied to that, we can leverage AI effectively. And because it silos our teams, it just creates all this competing forces against what AI is trying to do with our humans and our data. And I started with, okay, if it's lead MQL, if it's this life cycle stage shit, right? I'm tackling that first. Like, what does that look like? And I just was like, okay, what is the human on the other side? They're certainly not a lead. They would never call themselves a lead. What are they doing? They're in the audience, right? They're researching, they're raising their hands. Like literally the label must apply to what the human would be like. Yeah. Yeah. That's me. I can identify with that word. Right. And then on the back half, going beyond customer, because we take a bunch of customers for granted as soon as that label hits. And now we have a bunch of adoption failures and like, so surprise. I didn't know how I was going to be able to introduce that effectively. And here we are at the Value First Data Summit, like 8 months after I started fleshing that out. And this was how. And I think the event was different than most others because it was focused on humans, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about getting your data and process ready for AI by understanding what the humans want on the other side, where they are in their journey, what they want at each level, the difference between individual stakeholders, managers, and executives, which a lot of people miss, right? You just try to find your one champion and just ram it in there, right? Meanwhile, that one champion's like, oh, change management. I don't know how to get all these people to, yeah. So it was awesome. Doesn't suck for you completely if you missed it, because everything will be available on demand via your Value First portal. So still go ahead and register, so you can get access to those resources. They will be up later today. And shout out to my man, Clement. Like, he's already, manhandled the 8 hour recording, clipped it up into the 1 hour sets that we needed.
Oh man.
I've already started bringing that into HubSpot and started, using HubSpot's AI tool set to support getting that in your hands. And really excited to have that available later today. But yeah, Clement was a rock star in terms of helping make sure, everybody had what they needed.
Just the organization of it all too.
And, it was fun, man. In under a month, we got 20 plus experts together to spend an hour at least each to just share knowledge. And not one person, not one, asked what was in it for them. Not one of them. No leads. Like, can you give me the leads? Am I going to get access to the registrants? None of that bullshit.
Yeah.
It gets in the way. Like, and that's what, when Nico says let go, that is the first thing that most companies need to let go of. Like, and I've been taking people there for a while, and hopefully people understand, like, collaborative AI intelligence report. Like, this is very important to that part. If you can't let go of that, you're not going to be able to collaborate with AI or humans effectively, right? And when people come to me, which we're all getting pitch slapped all over the place ahead of inbound right now. Hey, let's get a coffee. Let's see how we can partner. Let's see where there's synergy.
Let's sit down for a minute. Let's connect. As soon as you land, like, somebody told me, somebody messaged me yesterday. What time do you land? Let's connect. Like, are you shitting me? Are you shitting me? Are you going to give me a ride from the fucking airport? That'd be great. Yeah. Like, save me a buck. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but otherwise, better than lead sharing.
Shit.
No, that's right. Like, that's been happening ever since I've shown up with content differently. Because that's a big part of the app ecosystem in HubSpot. It's like, oh, we got to find people to sell our app. So let's just throw 20% at them and they'll be in. It doesn't work that way. And instead I was like, yeah, I don't really sell stuff. So, but if you want to collab on content, like, let's go, let's do it. Right. in that switch, it's like when the people who have said yes, we've created some damn good content on LinkedIn, just unboxing their apps. But for most, it doesn't fit in. Like as soon as they understand it's LinkedIn Live, of the 600 that I've done, like one of them, and they're from the Salesforce ecosystem, so it wasn't surprising. Asked post event, how many people did attend? How many? What was our numbers? And it's like, yeah, sorry, I don't really keep track of that. Plus, LinkedIn's metrics are garbage. So thanks for showing up and sharing value. Because that's how, when we get to inbound, like this is the part that I feel so confident about, in that trust in the uncertainty of what the interfaces are showing you, so that you don't take for granted what the humans are telling you directly, right? And when we get to inbound and we get all of this feedback that way more people than LinkedIn is telling us are watching, consuming content, but they've never liked, commented, done anything to show themselves, right? They're lurkers. It's like 10 to 1, like 100 to 1. The difference. Mm-hmm. And if you can't accept and take that 10 or 100 and just forget about your metrics, like just forget about the LinkedIn metrics at that point, because you know it's not real. And the second you know it's not real, and this is for everybody, like that's freaking out about the algorithm and impressions and all that shit, right? Like take this for an example. On Wednesday, right, we were doing this show. And, you know, sometimes when people comment on LinkedIn, they have security settings somehow that in StreamYard, we cannot see their name, right? Yeah. It's called LinkedIn user. And that was from my stream, not Nico's. Like it makes way more sense when it's somebody else's stream, but it was my stream. What are the chances that the same reason StreamYard can't show it, LinkedIn doesn't show them in the data, right? Their activity as a viewer, right? Like that's why I think LinkedIn is different from every other platform. We have three levels of connection, right? And then everybody has their own security settings that are based on networking and, you know, can people message me?
Right.
And that stuff, and they haven't built the video platform in a way that like takes all those security settings. Like there's no way, right? That's why we're seeing such a different video experience on LinkedIn. And at the same time, they're not trying to create viral videos. Right. They've said that out loud, right? So all these reasons, like if you're trying to game the algorithm, I mean, meanwhile, the tried and true stuff works like bitch about stuff. Like, that's always going to work. But, yeah, man. So it was a great day yesterday. We'll be sharing all the individual sessions and, you know, making sure the value continues outside of that day. We had a couple people watch all day, dude.
Yeah.
Like 8 hours. So there was definitely value had. And again, so appreciative to Clemen for helping to put it together and all 20 plus experts that came in and just shared value. I see you got something you want to share over here.
I do.
You ready?
Yeah. So and not to go sideways, but it is sort of like sharing content and sharing value. But we've talked about the advent of zero cost development and the advent of abundance and like what that looks like. And so I've been trying to like piece it together for the past like month in terms of, okay, what does happen is there this expansive economy that happens? Is there this SaaS explosion, or is there this like death to SaaS, right? There are two mechanics that sort of that fight me on this. One is the fight forward, which is abundance. And what that looks like is kind of what you're looking at right now. This is an app that's put together. I don't want to slaughter your name. I'm just gonna go with how I think it sounds, buddy. Arrigo. Arrigo Lupori, and put together something that I was actually I've been noodling on in the background and was gonna be launching soon, which is a UI card builder. So this app that he's put together, which is called Palpaca, you can see sits in the sidebar within HubSpot, and you click to it, you go to the UI, and you start building a new card that you need to import into HubSpot, right? I don't know the ins and outs of it, so I don't know if it's going to work the exact same way as the app that I have in mind. But point being, I was like, well, you know, HubSpot could just, you know, absorb this. So like, it's kind of crazy that people are going to try to like build apps on top of the ecosystem. But then it made me like quickly understand, and I had a flashback to something, and I've talked about this a lot, where I talk about the fact that where we're headed feels and seems a lot like simulation theory. And in that sense, it made me think back to World of Warcraft and the fact that when it was possible, like back then, it was very easy to program add-ons for that game. The code was very simple.
Quote unquote mods.
Yes, mods. Right. Yep. Now it's kind. That's basically what's happening. Is more people than ever have the capability of building mods to software platforms, and when it came to World of Warcraft, these are all like different mods that you can install. Look at the numbers of installations. Now, granted, these aren't paid for. You have to extrapolate. Yeah. Okay.
That one is 7.8 million.
Right.
That IAT one.
15,000 for one app platform. There are 15,000 mods. I think currently in the HubSpot app marketplace, if I had to be nice about it, 1,000? Maybe? Maybe more?
Oh, there's like almost 2,000 apps at this point.
Okay, 2,000.
But most of them are not built for HubSpot.
Right. I was going to say, most of those are third party. A lot of them are just integrations, right? They're not actual like apps in the sense of what we're talking about here. Like this is an actual app within the CRM, right? And this is what you're going to see more of. You're going to see 15,000 to 20,000 of these things that all handle all of those super annoying problems. And when you say like, oh, but this is a app, you know, card builder, and it's a, you know, why would you build another one? Because mine's going to be different. I have a difference in my mind that this card builder is not going to have. It doesn't matter how advanced they get. There's something I'm thinking of that they'd have to be in my head to understand it. It'd be amazing if they do it. I'll give up if I see it, but they probably won't. So, could be that you have a business that's like, I don't know, specific to medical. And so you only want medical cards. You don't want all the other stuff, and you don't want to have to sit there and figure it out. Okay. Well, maybe now my app, you know, includes like 500 different like pre-made medical cards that like other medical offices use and everybody's, you know, signed off on and all that kind of stuff. Right. Or maybe it's for legal or whatever it is. It could be a styling thing. It doesn't matter. How many versions of website builders are there? How many different recipes for apple pie are there?
Right.
Like I can keep doing this week after week, right? But at the end of the day, I hope you guys understand. Like that's where I came to. I was like, shit, the economy is going to explode. Because if this, 15-year-old game? Yeah, roughly 15-year-old game is still supporting 15,000 different apps, right? Yeah, I think the app ecosystem is going to be, I can't imagine what that looks like if you extrapolated that across HubSpot, you know, Mongo, Salesforce, like all the way across the SaaS ecosystem, because it's not even CRMs. Like, just keep going. Like, right. Windows, you know, MS Office, like any app that allows for some type of add-on is about to see a whole new like ecosystem of stuff.
And the ones that like can act like an operating system, I think there's a mass consolidation of SaaS because of this principle of, you know, HubSpot has to build their platform in a way that is much different than what we're used to, more like the games where it's all open. And that's where like there is a ton of value being created in the world for entertainment, like reasons when people are communities just show up and make games better because they can and they want to, not because anybody's paying them to do it.
Right.
Like, and now HubSpot is making that possible. Somebody just sent me an app and they've been posting about it on LinkedIn. And I was like, the usual spiel is like, if this is just for you, great. If you are going to try and sell it, I advise against it because you will not make it to market fast enough and it will be hard. And he was like, yeah, I'm just making it for me and just sharing the knowledge. And I'm like, that's it, man. Like, that's what we're going to see, an explosion of that. And HubSpot has to build in a very specific way, like to allow for it, like almost accepting like the HubSpot everywhere thing that they've talked about, right? It can be here. It can be here in HubSpot. It can be there in your place. Like, we don't care. That level of like transparent and like not necessarily, I'm sure I'm not open source necessarily, but that kind of model where it's like develop wherever you want, like that foundation is required to have everybody build on your platform. Like, right.
Yeah.
And that's like this transparent, like nobody's trying to make money off of every single transaction. And that's when development and creativity and just explosion, right? And it's so beautiful to watch right now. And that's why I think 17,000, you know, from the MarTech map comes down to like 100 or 200 over the next couple of years, because you've also got Microsoft's, Google's, the LLMs, like joining from this perspective that's never existed before. And if you don't find a way to get bought or start building natively and getting very specific with that native build, like you might want to start building something else. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not just CRM. It's not just marketing. It's not just regular office white collar. You're looking at Kling AI, which is one of the newest. I mean, it's been around for a minute, but like this is their newest version, 2.1. A lot of these models are on like version 1, version 2. Runway's only on version 4, right? By December, you'll see Runway 5, and it's going to make this look terrible, right? I don't know. It's,
I mean, let's make it look better. I'll make it.
Yeah, you know, terrible. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, this morning, you know, looking at my news and come across this pretty awesome, not story necessarily, but this pretty awesome, like, announcement or what have you about, this new platform called, Higgsfield. May not actually be new. It might have been around for a little bit. But what this platform allows you to do is to essentially, like, what you're looking at is the equivalent of like TikTok for social. So what you're looking at is effects, essentially. Like Northern Lights effect. You're looking at Pizza Fall effect, like IGO effect. And so what happens is like you click into these visual effects and then you just pop in a photo and it translates the photo into whatever that effect is supposed to be. Right. I want to
a lot of people have been looking for that kind of consistency
right.
to get one thing right and then apply it to other things.
And it's honestly, it's crazy. Like, that's the level we're at now, is that it's gone from needing to prompt it to being something that's like going to end up being in, it's going to end up being in as like a filter on your phone.
I don't want the spiders out of the mouth thing, but, yeah, no, and literally that's what's so amazing right now. Like, I just said the challenge out loud that it has been tough to do this.
Yeah.
People are listening and then they just build the solution like so easily, so much easier than ever before.
Yeah.
And that's the world that we're in. Like, and I love, like, one of my favorite things is being able to bring manufacturing experience into SaaS ecosystem and start to connect dots that say, yeah, I know you're building this for SaaS, like customer success workspace, but it will actually work really well for like physical equipment in the field too. We just have to connect to those systems too, but it's already built. So we don't have to go find some special field service system. We're just taking experiences and innovation from other industries and bringing them together. It's never been easier to do that because now, but here's where, like, back to our value first conversation, then we'll wrap. Where it gets stopped is, oh, we can't measure it like that over here. Which sales rep am I gonna, how do I know which sales rep it belongs to? Like, if we do it like that, right? I'm not going to be able to compensate people properly. How do I know who's working on what, when? Like, that's the stuff that gets in the way of bringing innovation from B2C into B2B. And like, you're going to miss out. And that's where, when HubSpot had the realization that, all right, it's time to stop trying to get everybody in our app, because we're not going to get there. Right. So how do we do it differently? And they're starting to do it differently. And it feels right. I don't know, man. There's not much other way to describe it. Like, you call it like strategic, like whatever the way is, it just feels better. Right. When you're not continuously prompted, oh, you got to come see that over here. I know you're having a really great experience right now, but to continue having that, you got to come over here. Right? Like, people don't go. They don't go over there. Right? They're like, they find the next thing. This is where everybody gets social wrong. Like, if we're having a conversation on LinkedIn, don't give me your phone number. Like, unless I ask you for it. But
right.
I'm giving you so much value in this message stream right now, and you want to take me to email? Like, no. There's a reason I'm doing it over here. Right? Oh man, we're already at time. I gotta wrap up.
I know.
And we're gonna find a way to keep doing this show next week. Nico and I have been going back and forth on ideas, but yeah. So stick with us. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time.
See you guys.